The exception he was making as he looked to his right was Steve Acho, who's with us. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Steve is a published author, and he's also the CEO of Short Row, which is a staffing program. And we're going to be talking with him about consulting and about helping people get jobs and maybe sometimes change careers. And you've got some interesting ideas about how to make that happen a lot quicker. And
I think so. You know, as somebody that talks to just hundreds of people a week, we do technology consulting and staffing, and for companies as big as Apple and GM and as small as startups. So I just talk to hundreds of people, and a lot of people reach out to me for advice. And I ended up writing a blog post about this, which ended up being, surprise, surprise, the most popular of all of them, because everyone's interested in, you know, everyone from young people who are looking to get into the job market for the first time to more experienced professionals. And everyone ends up coming back to me. I sit next to people on planes that are, you know, older than me and have lots of years of experience and ask my advice. And so just a couple of really, I don't even want to say guidelines, but perspectives that I think are really useful for people. And the first one, no matter where you are in your career, is really decide exactly what you want to do.
Mm.
And even though that sounds simple.
When I grow up,
yeah,
I'm still doing that. I'm still looking for that myself.
Yeah, don't. I think that's why adults ask little kids what they want to be when they grow up, because we're all still looking for ideas. But you know, the first part of this is treat it like a project. I mean, if you think about, I talk to people all the time who say, well, you know, I talked to some of my former colleagues and I'm kind of interested in making a change. And, you know, I had lunch with this person and that person and I searched the web and there aren't really any jobs in the area that I'm interested in. It's like, think of the time and money and energy you put into planning a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That's 8 hours of your life, including the ceremony, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And then think of the hours that, I mean, you spend more than that your first day at work of your career. So like, treat this whole process of getting a job, changing jobs, getting promoted, changing careers, whatever it is, like, treat it with some respect and like it's a project. And then one big mistake that I see a lot of people that are really established in their careers making, in my opinion, is the perspective that, you know, you are not your resume. I it's surprising that I see really successful people who say, well, I'm a tech guy or I'm a finance guy. I talked to a guy who was like an executive at Pfizer, and he's been at Pfizer for a long time. Well, he's a smart guy. He's done a lot of things, entrepreneurial projects, but he says, well, I'm a pharma guy. Well, you think you're that. You think people are looking at your resume and, you know, they have a story about you, but that's kind of your story. You can change that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is all under the umbrella of decide what you want to do. If I say, yeah, what do you want to do with your life? Don't look at your resume and tell me what you've done. Actually think about what you want to do, right, from that context.
Absolutely. And what can you do for the company that you're applying to?
Yeah,
right?
That's
because
a great question.
When I'm hiring somebody, I want to know what they've done, but I really want to know what they're going to be able to do for me.
I'm so glad.
Right? And for our company.
Yeah. So I actually wrote a book a couple of years ago. It's on Amazon, called Why Technology Recruiting is Broken and What to Do About It.
Right.
And the title kind of says it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a little bit more than half the book ripping on why recruiting is broken. And then a little bit of here are some easy fixes. And that, I'm so glad you said that, because that's actually my biggest pet peeve and my biggest criticism of recruiting in general is that we're so concerned with what people have,
mm-hmm,
right? We have 10 years of experience in something.
Oh, I see.
We have a degree. It doesn't really matter what you have. It's what you do with what you have.
That's right.
And so if you, and this is kind of something for the hiring side too, for the business, for the HR people, talent acquisition, whatever they call them, for staffing companies, you know, you have to have that conversation. And both the candidate and I, we need to make companies accountable for this too. They have to evaluate people based on their belief that they are capable and motivated of doing the work. And my biggest criticism is that job descriptions don't describe jobs. They describe people.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, come work for my company, we need an accountant, must have 10 years of experience in QuickBooks, you're not describing a job. That's just an attribute of a person.
Right.
And whether they have 10 years or not, you haven't even told them what they're going to do. So in fairness to this candidate, right? Like, what are you, exactly like Gary said, like, you know, what are you going to do? Convince me that you're capable and motivated to do that.
Our guest, by the way, he's speaking right now, is Steve Ako, who's a published author. We've been speaking about his book, and he's also the CEO of Shortrow. What is Shortrow, by the way?
Well, Shortrow.com is a platform that we started kind of to get at the problem that I was just speaking about, mm-hmm. because we would get so many requests for different technology professionals from our clients, and it just seemed to be hit or miss. So right now, as we're talking, even on the weekend, there are hundreds of resumes being slung around, right?
Yes.
And a small percentage of those will be interviewed, and a small percentage of those will be hired. Well, we have like a 90% take rate.
Well, you got to tell us. You got to tell us what you're doing to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Our break sounder is on right now, and I want to come back and talk with you about that.
All right.
How do we get that to work? Steve Ako, as I say, is with us. He's a published author, CEO of Shortrow, and we're talking about staffing and getting good at that. Welcome back to the first hour of the Internet Advisor. Writer, by the way, stick around. And in the second hour, we open up our lines for you to ask questions that you have on your mind about your computer, etc. You may be at home this weekend with a long weekend and figuring you're going to get some things done with that computer around your home. And, well, we'd love to have a crack at helping you to solve those problems that may be bothering you right now, or give you some advice as well. All right. Our guest, by the way, in studio, and I violated the number one rule of interviewing, which is to ask your guest the pronunciation of their name, first of all. I took a guess and did the wrong thing, and Steve Ako is our guest. Am I got it right now, Steve?
Perfect.
Okay, we got to press a button there and get him on the air. There you go. Steve, thank you very much for putting up with that and for correcting me on it as well. Steve Ako. Okay, we're talking about the hiring process, and it sounds like the critical insight you have, and I'm just curious how you came to that, but is that there is a difference between when you're offering a job to somebody to describing the job and what it really is and what it really entails and the credentials needed to get into it. And too often, it sounds like people are just simply putting up there the credentials you need and not necessarily talking about the job that needs to be done.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I see job postings. I mean, go search anything online, and I think you'll see that what companies do a good job of is branding their company itself. They'll mm-hmm. say, work for us. We're a bunch of fun, energetic people, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they do a great job of telling you why it's a great place to work, and then they don't brand the job. They don't make the job compelling to someone who is a top performer who would be interested in doing that work. And the biggest reason is they don't describe the work. It's called a job description. And instead of describing the job, they go right from work at Google, we're fun. And then they say, must have 20 years of experience in this technology and 15 years in this. And that's not a description of a job. And therefore, you can't accurately evaluate. And by the way, neither can a professional who wants a job. They can't be well-intended and evaluate to see what all they can do is look at a checkbox on, you know, the required skills and look at the bullet points on their mm-hmm. resume and hope that that works out.
Yeah, Cal?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and this is just looking into the future crystal ball-wise and that sort of thing, because what you're talking about is definitely a paradigm shift from what is traditionally done with the job process and the interview process from both sides. We no longer have encyclopedias. Yellow pages are just about gone. Is there going to be a time we can get rid of resumes?
I hope so. I love that you said that. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my, I think we're close to that, because if you think about slinging around a Word document, if you send me a resume today, in 2 months from now, it's outdated, right? And so LinkedIn has already, in my opinion, done a decent job of having the kind of living and breathing dynamic resume. That's great. Mm-hmm. And if people really, and that's another piece of advice I have for people is, you know, don't just tell me if you have a LinkedIn profile. It's a giant SEO platform in the right from the beginning. So if you want to be found and even, you know, have opportunities to discuss potential future employment, you know, don't say I worked at this company for 3 years and before that I worked for this company at 5 years. Tell me what you did. And if you want to be really human about it, tell me what kinds of things you enjoy doing.
Gary, I'm curious about you. You have been, the years that I've known you, the 20 years I've known you, I forget how many careers you've had, or jobs, I should say.
Well, I've never had the same two jobs in the same industry.
Okay. Oh.
So I've moved from industry to industry, and that why learn this, you know, an industry all over again? Why not learn a new industry, right?
So do you generally solve the same problems but in different industries?
They're all
so
different
even the problems.
Yeah. But see, here's the interesting part is that people, when they read your resume, they know what you've done. They want to know if you can, if you've done it before in that particular industry. But what they really want is someone that can fit in and can do the, and can solve the problem that they have.
Agreed.
And sometimes they're similar, and sometimes they're not similar at all.
Right.
And you know, the
so
last
you might be the best person for a certain job. You personally,
right.
Gary. But if I looked at your resume, I'd say, I don't see any of this on there.
Well, the last 8 jobs I've had have been created specifically for me, right? Nobody else had that job before I got there to that. In that
How did
company.
You get away with that?
You have to ask but it's about fit.
You
and
have...
it's about when they look at you and they go, you know what? We can't find anybody that can solve our problem.
Sure.
You're about... You know, because you've solved so many other problems that have been unique, we think you can solve this one too.
So you're a problem solver.
That's essentially what everything is, right? Every business exists to solve a problem, and every employee exists to solve some portion of that company's problem. And that's part of it. Even when I tell people, you know, decide what you want to do in terms of what problems do you enjoy solving.
Okay.
It doesn't even have to be technology.
Cal, what were you going to say?
No, well, it was going to be a joke, but I do have something else I wanted to ask. Because I was wondering how he was able to do that without being Republican or Democrat, but that's another story. question for Gary, because you do hire people.
Right.
What would be your thought about this gentleman right here, if he sent you, instead of a traditional resume, a YouTube video with him on it telling you why he wants to work for you?
I think that helps me understand how well he's going to fit in with the group that I need him to either lead or be a part of. So I think that's way better. In fact, the company I'm with now, that's how we do things. We take and we videotape the interview so that... we can take in, because we can't get all of the different executives to see or to meet with that person at the same time. So we videotape them because, again, we can tell a lot more from a videotape than we can from a piece of paper.
So you were asking me earlier what Shortro is.
Shortro
is a platform that was developed for that reason. What we do is, if you were coming to my company, Gary, and you said, Steve, I need a .NET developer, I would say, well, what do you need that person to do? And I would actually force you to tell me what the outcomes are.
Yeah.
So in other words, answer the question, what are the most critical things this person has to accomplish in order to be considered successful? And then I don't send you a resume. I send you a quick page that you can look at on your phone in less than 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a few bullet points with your words. This is what they have to accomplish. And the most relevant accomplishments of that person, along with a video with them introducing themselves.
Oh.
And so that way, even if you don't like the person, you say, well, this person's not going to fit in. And I think if that's their most relevant problem that they've solved, it's not close enough, but at least it's a better conversation. And that is my passion.
That's
right there.
Interesting.
Like,
a better
forget
conversation.
The money, forget the product. It's like, if I could change the conversation on how this happens,
people
would have more meaningful professional lives,
right.
And companies would have people that enjoy working for them. But instead, it starts with the bulleted, the skills-infested list that says, oh, I don't qualify. You probably didn't qualify for any of your last 8 jobs.
I'm sure I didn't.
Right? But you're probably the top performer and the top person to actually do the work. So luckily, I'm guessing the way all of those happened is you had enough relationships where someone said, this guy's a problem solver, you need to talk to him.
Right.
And then you actually had a conversation around what the problem you're solving.
You mentioned relationships. Yeah. Tell me something. I have always said to my grandchildren, and I certainly have found it my life to a certain extent. I know about you guys, Cal and Ed, and Gary, but networking and relationships you build in networking are probably the key to your next job, rather than fulfilling somebody's list of, this is what I want these characteristics to be. Do you think that's true?
I don't have to think. I'm a data
guy. Absolutely
true,
right?
So you are 250 times more likely to get a job, 250 times less likely to get a job applying for it. In any means, mailing your resume, applying online, than you are by just having one person that introduces you, even if they don't work at the company. So there's all these stats that say, you know, percentage-wise, and also not just getting a job, but how long you're going to stay there and how happy you're going to be there. And it all goes up the more context you have the person. Right?
The job I have today, a guy that works at the current company, used to work for me, right? He called me up. And I trusted him because we worked together. I knew the kind of person he was, and I knew what he could do.
Sure.
And if he thought that I could help that company, and then when I got in and talked to people, you know, it became obvious that that was a good fit. The one before that, and the one before that, and the one before that, exactly the same.
Sure.
You know, it was about somebody contacting me and saying, you know, but it was somebody that I trusted.
What hope do young people who haven't built those networks have then? That's a tough question to ask. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, your co-host and producer here, along with Gary and Ed Kalp. And our special guest in studio is Steve Acho. He is he's a published author, and he's also the CEO of Shortro. It's kind of like Intro, only it's Shortro. And there was a method to that madness, right, Steve?
Absolutely. Shortcut to an intro.
A shortcut to an intro. We've been talking about that. Now, the thing that kept on coming back to my mind is, what's it like to be a young person? We talk about, you know, needing young people in IT, for instance.
Yeah,
desperately
sure.
Needing them, because there's lots of positions open. Gary's talked about it. Other people have talked about it on the air with us here. But they don't have those relationships.
Sure.
How do they get in? How do they get that toehold that Gary has because he's had so many years in the business, or any of the other guys in the studio, including myself? You.
Right. Well, I think there's two things that younger people don't have or complain that they don't have, and that is, you know, the relationships, which is true, and the experience that someone like Gary has,
right,
obviously,
right,
which is also true. However, I think, you know, we live in such an amazing time. You know, 20 years ago, if anybody wanted to start a TV show or become a solo singing artist or anything like that, right, you had to know somebody and you had to get through gatekeepers and had a lot of money then be really good
and then
sell lots
lucky.
Of albums.
And then get lucky.
Super lucky, right?
Right.
You want to start a TV show? You got a phone, right? Everyone who's five does. Like, turn it on yourself, turn on YouTube. It doesn't mean anyone will like it.
Yeah.
But so my point is, like, we live in such an amazing time where you can't use certain excuses that used to exist. So one of them is that catch 22. Companies want people with experience, but you can't get experience until you have a job with a company, right? You don't get to do that anymore. And the reason is that, especially in technology, but I would argue that this applies everywhere, if you're actually interested in iOS, I'm just going to pick one, right? I like building iOS apps, but I haven't done it before. Nobody's hired me to do it. Yeah, you don't get that excuse. Like, there's free training and training for $20 that you can get, right? And then go volunteer. Go build your buddy's business's website.
That's
go
right.
Start a pet project. We used to have paper routes when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, go start the app for whatever today's version of a paper route is you're interested
those
in.
Those two young guys we had last week. Remember them?
Absolutely.
The guys with BookCycle?
Yep. And that's exactly how people can do this today, because it is a contact sport. So you got to get out and make contact.
Yeah,
how do you do it? You
point.
Join
and so
things,
you're solving
as Steve would
both
say.
Of those problems, right?
Right?
You're getting experience. But if you go volunteer at Gleaners and you say, I'm super interested in iOS and I love your cause, I would like to build an app for you, you're automatically think about the difference between,
you know,
I'm going to go pay for college or a course, spend my time, learn stuff, and then try and convince someone that even though I haven't done it, I've learned it, please give me a job, versus just go do the work.
So I was, I did a guest lecture at a cybersecurity class at Spring Arbor University on Tuesday. And it was interesting because the guy that runs the class used to work for me when I was a chief information security officer. And he basically picked two people out of the class to come be interns at the company when they graduate in a week or so. And they got that opportunity. Everybody seemed to do pretty well. These were not the two people that got the highest grades, they were the two people that spoke up the most in class.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, now, he didn't say that at the beginning of class. He waited till near the end of the class, and he said, these are the people that will fit in the best with my group. because he had experience. He could see what they were thinking, the questions they were asked, the curiosity that they had, as opposed to some of the other kids. So, you know, again, it's not just the contact, right? It's the contact in with the right context. Ask the questions. Be interested in what you do. You know, there's a lot of ways to network.
Your statement, I thought, was kind of fascinating. It's a contact sport. You got to get your hands dirty.
Right.
And it isn't. I feel so bad. I know my... My grandchildren and I were at an age in their 20s where they're sending out resumes. And I said, I almost stopped. I said, kids, don't do that.
Still doing that? Yeah.
Yeah, please stop. Stop. It hurts to see you try to do something like you got it. You've got to find another way of getting in touch with the people that you want to work with. And it's got to be another way besides that.
And I think here's another really specific, you know, like kind of prescriptive advice for younger people. And I just talked to a young man last week who's just was phenomenal. I mean, just a friend of a friend, so I don't know him personally, but he just came across really well. He's so passionate and interested in, he will take a job for, he said, you know, I'm just out of college. I don't need that much money to survive. Mm-hmm. I want to do meaningful work. And I already have a job, but we're not doing anything meaningful. I will take a pay cut to do take on meaningful work. So, you know, what do I do? And I said, well, here's what you do. Like, what are you interested in? Go find companies that are doing that. Go contact someone on LinkedIn or anywhere and say, I don't know or care if you're hiring right now, but I'm so passionate about what you guys are doing. I would like to help. I want to donate 10 hours of my time a week. What can I do? They will be crazy not to hire you, even if they don't need someone.
That's now, you've been on the other side of that equation. Would you hire?
Experience in
Absolutely. We're all, you know, desperate for talent.
Right.
And when you get somebody that has that kind of motivation and drive and willing to take a chance like that, right? How are you not going to be impressed?
My business partner and I say at least once a week with all the people we talk to, I will take attitude and motivation
absolutely
over skill set any day of the week.
You can teach skills.
And there was, those are the people that spoke up at your seminar.
Do you find, though, that some of the kids out there kind of have the attitude of, if I don't make at least $50,000 a year to start with, I mean, I don't know if this is really worth. In other words, they're kind of, they've been blinded by the experiences of people like the Mark Zuckerbergs, you know, who in their college dorm built a billion-dollar bit. They're almost thinking, maybe they have some peers who have dropped in some candy jobs.
So so you said if they're not making $50,000 a year to start in IT, why would they settle for just 50? No, really. Yeah. I mean, we're so desperate, right, to find good people. Why would they settle for just 50?
Well, I guess what I was thinking is...
my point is that it is, you know, they can make a decent living right out of school. Now, the people that aren't speaking up, that don't have the attitude, that don't have the aptitude, right, that won't fit into a group, you know what? 50 doesn't matter because they're not going to make any. They're not going to get hired.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the truth.
There's a top tier of performers in every kind of job and every kind of industry, right? But part of it is when, and this is where I'm criticizing companies too, and back to my, you know, spiel about describe the job, not the person.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk about, because whoever you hire, I don't care if it's your nephew or someone that, you know, just reached out to you and mailed you their resume through snail mail, I would argue that you're hiring them because you believe that they're capable and motivated to do the job. So it's that important to describe the job. And 3 months from now, you're going to evaluate them based on their performance. You should hire them based on their expected performance as it compares to what you want them to do. And so I always joke about, think about any other aspect of your life. You're having a party this weekend and you have 50 people coming to your house and you say, I need a caterer. I'm not going to cook for 50 people. So you call your friend. What do you say? I need someone who has 5 years of experience with spatulas and 7 years with convection ovens. And you would never do that. You would only describe the outcome. 50 people at 6 o'clock at this address, 40 are chicken, 10 is vegetarian. Like, you know, like you would get right to the end result. We don't do that in any other aspect of our lives, but somehow in corporate, because of the history, we're you know, trying to disqualify people through skill sets.
I'm going to wrap up with, this is usually Cal's domain, so the practical. How do people get in touch with you? Let's say if they're employers or if they're people who are looking into careers themselves, how do they get in touch with Steve Acho and Shortro or your other company? Is it Solstice Consulting
Group? Solstice Consulting Group, yeah. Okay. So that's the staffing and the consulting arm.
Okay, so how did they get in touch with you?
Sure. I think just if you look up Steve Acho, A-C-H-O, on LinkedIn, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one.
Well, here, let's go. You want a practical question?
There you go.
Here's one for you.
Please.
Why should they get in contact with you rather than go somewhere else?
Yeah, sure. So I think just to answer that in a short couple sentences, the difference, every staffing company that staffs technology will tell you exactly the same story. We listen to what you need and we provide the best, blah, blah, blah. I'm already falling asleep telling you the story. No one has a different story. And so I set to prove that. And we're proving that by we created this thing called Shortro. And I'm so serious about doing business with companies that want to have that value discussion about matching people that are capable and motivated of doing the work, that if they won't describe the work, I won't take their business. And in fact, I've fired two big clients because they moved to a huge, third party that said, well, you just send their resume here and do a dropdown that tells me how many years of experience they have. Mm-hmm. That's called a race to the bottom. And I'm happy to send them to my competitor. They're actually good at that.
We have links, by the way, on our homepage to Solstice Consulting Group. And you can also find Shortro is linked there as well. Steve, thanks so much for being with us.